And a little background information before I begin. About a month ago, we lost an important person to the community. He was very involved in his church, his community, and his family. And the pastor at his funeral actually spoke on how he filled those gaps. And this is how this lesson came about. And it is standing in the gap. And Ezekiel 22 and 30 will be the main verse I will be using today. And most of us here know what a gap is, I'm sure, but if you don't, the internet defines gap as a break or hole in an object or between two objects. It also defines it as an unfilled space or interval. Sometimes a gap cannot be seen. A person can have emotional and physical gaps along with spiritual gaps. It could just take one prayer, one phone call, or one visit to stand in the gap. And Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." In this chapter, the Lord is upset with Israel because they are drifting away from him, much like our nation today. God says that if someone will step up and get back on the right track, he won't destroy Israel. Israel was, in fact, destroyed because nobody was found to step up and fill the gap. The question I ask you today is, will you stand in the gap? Today, as we find ourselves in a similar situation, we can expect a similar tragedy unless people are found and are willing to fill the gaps. Throughout the ages of human history, God is seeking for men and women who will stand in the gap, who are focused, wanting to help the lost and restore sinners' relationships with God. Unfortunately, it is hard to find sufficient people for this task, so Jesus said in Matthew 9 and 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." God wants us to wake up and see that our families, churches, and communities are in need of people to stand in the gap. And my first point I would like to make is, standing in the gap for our families. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." A strong family who serves the Lord even can sometimes find themselves in need of a person to stand in the gap. When I think of people who sit in the gap for their families, Abraham is the first person that comes to my mind. And a pretty lengthy verse here, Genesis 18:22-33, "And the men turned their face from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure thou shalt be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham's nephew Lot was a righteous man, but for the sake of better pasture for his cattle, Lot left Abraham and went to the wrong place, which was Sodom. That was a place of sin and all kinds of wickedness. Lot became a prosperous man and a respected leader in that city. God was grieved because of the sinfulness of the people in Sodom, so he decided to destroy the city by fire. But he remembered Lot, the righteous man in the wrong place. God looked for a man to stand in the gap between him and Lot. And the verses we just read tells us that Abraham stood in the gap and pleaded for his nephew and family. If you read Genesis chapter 13, it tells you about Lot deserting Abraham because of his ambition for worldly property and success. This departure took place after the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot didn't agree on where to go. And if you go on to read chapter 14, Lot is in danger of captivity. Abraham went after the captors with 318 of his strongest men, defeated the enemies, and rescued Lot. This was a warning from God to Lot. Lot should have gone back to be with his godly uncle, but Lot still didn't listen. He continued to live in Sodom because of his unrighteous ambition to be richer and to be a public figure in the world. Now, when the Lord was about to bring down fire and brimstone upon Sodom, Lot and his family were in great danger. It was at that time Abraham stood in the gap and cried before God to spare the lives of Lot and his family. God heard the call and answered it. Abraham could have kept the hurt in his heart caused by Lot and his servants, but he didn't. When Lot was in danger, Abraham stood in the gap not just once, but twice. God calls you to stand in the gap for your family. My next point I would like to make is standing in the gap for our community. In Acts 5:19-25, it says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all of the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.'" Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Here God told the apostles to go teach the people in the temple. Nothing stopped them, not even the prison officers. This is the kind of attitude us Christians need to have. We need to go throughout the community and teach God's word without being scared of anything. This can even go beyond your local community. We have evangelists today who go to other countries to preach the word of God so that others may be saved. And Moses stood in the gap for Israel when they rebelled against God and committed the sin of idolatry. In Exodus 32:10-14, it says, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation." And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." In Psalms 106:23, it says, "Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. The Lord threatened to destroy the people of Israel, and I believe he would have done it if Moses didn't plead for them. When we had that big fire in March a couple of years ago, people around the community and other communities gathered hay bales and water and stuff like that to the people that lost their land. They stood in the gap for their community and helped the people out when they needed it most. God calls you to stand in the gap for your community. My third point is standing in the gap for our church. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work in the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Here Paul is listing all, he's not listing all possible gifts, but rather concentrating on the leadership gifts. Each of these gifts center around the Word of God. And it doesn't matter if you're preaching, singing, or sitting in the back watching for suspicious activities. We all have a gap to fill. Acts 9:15-16 says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And it doesn't matter if you don't think you can fill a gap. Christ chose Paul, and most people thought he was an unqualified person to be a disciple, and then he ended up being Christ's most faithful servants. God calls you to stand in the gap for your church. Everybody is capable of being successful at standing in the gap. And I have four things that one must have to do so, and I like to call this the four C's. The first C is courage, which is the ability to do something that frightens you. In Joshua 1 and 9 says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." After the death of Moses, God is telling Joshua to rise up, have courage, and lead him and the other people across the Jordan River to the land that the Lord is giving to the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." We must be strong in our faith, because God will not leave us, and he is always with us. The second C is compassion, and that is having sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. In Colossians 3:12-13 it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Here, Paul is listing the positive traits that us Christians should mirror throughout our daily lives. In 1 Peter 3:8 says, Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. We should set ourselves aside and make others the focus of our attention. Christians are to lift up one another and support each other. The third C is conviction, which is a firmly held belief. Ephesians 6:10-14 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Here Paul is describing the armor of God, which he uses an allegory of the Roman soldiers' basic equipment to show how Christianity works together to serve God. He also directs servants to serve with good intentions, as if they were working for Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God helps us see the importance of our faithful service. We can't give up, and we must stand firm in our faith. The fourth C is commitment, which is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. In Psalms 37:5, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." If we commit ourselves to Christ and we trust in him, he will direct us to the right path and give us extra strength so that we can reach our heavenly home. And I use the NIV version of Galatians 6 and 9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Eternal life comes from planting God's Spirit by faith in Christ and not by the works of the flesh. We must keep doing good, and if we do keep doing good, the harvest will show that we planted well. With these things in mind, the question I ask you now is, are you standing in the gap or standing in the way? Before we sing the invitation song, obey the call of God asking you to stand in the gap. Can you sense the pain in God's heart when he said, "But I found none"? Today, Jesus Christ stands in the gap for us. Are we willing to stand in the gap for our brethren who are suffering?